Blog Talk Radio.
I've got my apostle prophet bro on the line, Apostle Jeremy Scott Gibbs. How about that?
Hey, thanks.
Can you
hear me? Awesome to be here. I can hear
Absolutely.
You. Can you turn it up? Turn it up.
Can I turn it up? How about that?
Can you turn it
up? You want me to turn up? We're not trying to turn up on the podcast.
No, don't start talking crazy.
No, absolutely not. Right. We do this when we don't get to talk to each other for a little while. We just kind of goof off a little bit. Then we can get right down to business. We gotta make sure that everybody's still copacetic. Everybody's where they need to be. God bless you, everybody. We're so glad to have everybody here with us. Listen, we've got people listening from new places, Apostle. Lots of people listening from a lot of places. Syria, Egypt. Oh,
wow.
God, there's so many of them. If I start mentioning the places that are listening right now, just absolutely amazing. And we appreciate you guys being on, and we pray that what we say here today blesses you in a way that it brings you to a place of transition and transformation that is unforgettable.
Amen.
That's what we desire to do tonight concerning this word that we're going to share with you. Tonight, we are on our third week of, let me see here, what are we talking about? We are on the Rise of the Manifesting Sons. We're still on that series, and tonight we're talking about prophetic seed wars. We're on part three. Part three of prophetic seed wars, and so we've got some things we want to talk to you about tonight. We began talking about the de-evolution versus the revolution of mankind, and the end is the beginning. Oh, that's so loaded. There's lots of stuff going on inside of those topics, and so tonight we want to just kind of delve into this and see what the word of the Lord has to say and see what God has shared with myself and Apostle Jeremy regarding these matters as we delve in tonight. So, Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your kindness, God. We ask that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our lips tonight, that we would share the word of the Lord that's important and pertinent for your people to hear tonight, that's going to change their lives forever. In the name of the Lord, we thank you, and it is so.
Amen.
Apostle, so we
yes,
were
ma'am.
Talking about some things earlier today, and we've been talking over the weeks about these prophetic seed wars, and I believe the direction that the Holy Spirit took us in was really for the purpose of allowing people to understand what time we're living in, because a lot of time people are not paying attention. I'm noticing, and it kind of tickled me, looking on Periscope, on Facebook, and noticing all of these people that were like, ha-ha, the end didn't come, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I don't think you prophetically understand what's really going on. I mean, I know you're probably trying to make fun or make light of the fact that people were talking about the rapture, and I have my points of view on that as well, and so we're not going to do that today. However, that's not the point. The point is something did end and something did begin. And if you're not prophetically tuned in, then you'll miss the whole purpose of that. You'll miss the whole purpose. Apostle?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's so many times that people want to – it's easy for people – I remember Jesus, reading this about Jesus a number of times where he said, you look at the sky and the stars and
come on,
you can judge the weather and you can figure all that out, but you can't discern the time or the season.
And so it's always interesting to me when I hear people put out these prophetic words like this, that, you know, the world is going to end on such and such a date. And first of all, Jesus said no one knows the hour. No one knows the day. You'll know the season, but you won't know the hour. And so it's amazing to me that people are constantly looking for an hour and a day, and they miss the seasons. And not just the season of his coming. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet, but they miss the season of their opportunities in the prophetic realm by just listening to the voice of God and responding and partnering with what the Lord has spoken to them.
Absolutely.
So
how
that's
about this, Apostle?
Yeah.
How about this? I think that people have completely looked at things completely wrong anyway. Because when we're talking about the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, it doesn't always mean that he's getting ready to physically show up. It's talking about him showing up in his people, him standing up in his people. And the more you read the scripture, the more you begin to understand that there's a process. You know what I'm saying?
All
and
right.
He is always, the Father has always been about having a remnant of people in the earth perpetuating the kingdom. That's always been the
Absolutely.
Case. No matter if we start at the beginning, if we go to the middle, if we get to look at the end, it's always about him having a remnant that's going to bring the kingdom to the earth. And what is the kingdom? It's his actualization of his mindset, his heart, wherever he is, being perpetuated, his glory, all of his doings, what he's doing in heaven. Listen, the master said this, I do nothing but what I see my Father doing. Well, where does he see it at? He's perceiving it with his spirit. He's perceiving it with his hearing, with his seeing. He's perceiving it because he knows the heart of God, because he's intimately related. He's intimately connected to him, so he understands his movement. It's just like, you know, when people are married, they're not the same person, but they're one. And if they are properly intimately connected, then when I'm somewhere, I know what he'll do. If he's somewhere, he knows what I'll do. And it just gets done because we're one. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you miss the whole point. And you're not in the prophetic mind of God to make light of the fact that, okay, it didn't happen. Okay, I get what you're saying. But we don't have time to make light of stuff that's not happening. We have time to actualize what needs to happen. And you need to be in your position as a manifesting son so that you can begin to materialize and manifest the things that God has called you to manifest, because it's already been written. It's already been written. Apostle?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're walking it out. It's already been written down, so you're simply walking it out. It says the Lord has ordered our steps. I was talking to one of my spiritual sons earlier today and talking about how we've got to move into a place where we're doing what's in front of us. And by that, I mean it's amazing how much we were talking about, how much it's amazing we agonize over the decisions, the godly decisions that we are placed in front of us. You know, should I do this? Should I make that move, Lord? Should I make this? But when we're not in fellowship with the Lord, our actions are completely the opposite. We just jump into stuff foolishly without thinking about it. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, we, you know, hopefully we recover from that. But I said, you know what? If our steps are ordered of the Lord and we're trusting God, if we're doing what Proverbs 3 what Solomon wrote in that, if we're doing that and we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart and leaning not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging him, then he'll make our path straight. Then he'll work it out. And then it says further to commit our plans to the Lord and they will succeed. Well, I was talking to him about, you know what, I'm going to do what's in front of me, because for the longest time I questioned the move of God. I didn't question my moves. As far as if I wasn't in direct fellowship with the Lord, I just did what was whatever was in front of me. And I was talking with the Lord.
Oh, yeah,
and he said, why don't you do whatever?
That's so easy to do.
Yes. And he says, I want you to do whatever in front of you, what I place in front of you, being conscious of me, asking me, hey, Lord, is this the right way to go? Because remember, that there's another scripture that says, whether you turn to the left or to the right, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way to walk
in your right ear.
And so,
and you're right here.
And so what I'm saying is that we've got to get to a place where we're responding to the voice of God and stepping into godly things without all the information. It's like when it's God and he says to do something, we want all the information, we want every little detail, we want all of it planned out and mapped out, or we're not going to move. But if somebody says, hey, let's go over here and do this, we jump at it and we run over there and do it without any information whatsoever. And I marvel at that. And I was talking with, you know, I was saying, you know what? It's amazing that we do that. And so we got to flip it over and go, okay, if the Lord says jump, we just got to jump, and he'll provide a parachute on the way down. And I'm speaking figuratively, but that's the idea. Because we'll jump with somebody else that we know doesn't have a parachute for us, but we're going to jump anyways because we're responding in the moment. And we've got to look at the prophetic from that place. We got to look at, hey, if my steps are ordered of the Lord, if I really believe that, And if I really believe that I've committed this plan to him, if I really believe that, I'm trusting in him and acknowledging him in all my ways, then I literally have to just get up and do what's in front of me and listen to the voice of God if he directs me otherwise, but I need to get up and do. And so I was just looking at that, is we need to recognizing the season, getting up and doing, and just going forth in what God's called us to do, whether we have all the information or not.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
Now, you mentioned three things, and I want to, yes, sir, I want to throw these out there so that we don't forget them. First of all, the concept of the principle of observing to do is important here. Observing to do.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of observance, is to do a thing. So you got to be careful what you're observing. You also talked about that conversation that's happening, and I denoted that the scripture says particularly in your right ear. I want to say this, because God has given us such a plan, and it's so laid out, Apostle. We don't have, it's not guesswork. Now, there are some things that he's unfolding in this season, which makes it a little bit uncomfortable because we're used to doing things in our ability, and now we've got to be available with ability in order for the thing to work. So when we talk about speaking in the right ear, first of all, the enemy's not going to cross that line and try to speak in your right ear. He already knows he's out of bounds, so he's just going to speak. You have to make the decision, you know, how does God speak? You know, how do I hear him? How is he directing his language to me in this season? And it can come a whole lot of different ways, but I wanted to say this, that right ear, I just heard it when you said it, it's the power of your perception. It's the authority and the power, because, you know, the right hand talks about your authority. It's the power of your perception. And how you perceive a thing is based on what you're always consistently eating, what you're feeding yourself. You know, what is it that you're consuming? Because based on what you're consuming, your perception is going to have power or none at all. It's going to have the energy or the fuel or none at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then you're going to be questioning it.
Absolutely.
We had a couple of things, and it's so many things that were on my mind, Apostle. I know we're talking about the war, the prophetic seed wars. And, you know, wars can be both chemical. They can be sound warfare. They can be mental. We're talking about spiritual seed wars, and it encompasses all of that. It encompasses all of that, because how I'm affected in my person affects me chemically. You know, what I'm hearing affects me in my sound realm, and what I'm perceiving, it affects me mentally. Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a difference between what the Father is doing in allowing his kingdom to come and dominion to be set up, and what the devil, what HaSatan desires to do. Those are two different dynamics. See, when we start talking about dominion, we're talking about a kingdom principle. When we start talking about domination, we're talking about a devilish principle. That, you see how close it is, though? That's how close it is, and that's why the Father has to do the separating, because it's so close it could confuse you if you're not all the way in, if you're not paying attention to the details, if you're not connected in a way that if you're not certain that you ask questions. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Right.
Domination is about control. Dominion is about service. This kingdom is about serving. Are you hearing me? It's not about having dominion over mankind, but that's what the enemy wants to do, which is why he's using the powers that be to try to create all of these situations where people have to bow and come into, because they want to control mankind. They want to control mankind. Are you hearing me? I'm just looking over some things, Apostle, and this separation is so serious. It's so serious. And we were talking about some differences in people a little bit earlier when you were bringing up the whole use me, Lord concept. And I know this is going to mess up somebody's theology really terribly. And I've got a lot to talk about, but we'll be on Seed Wars again next week, because I've got so much more to share with you. But at the end of the day, the reality is they have this use me, Lord mentality. Okay, well, when you realize that you're in partnership with the Father, you're not looking to be used. You understand what I'm saying? You're looking to do your part of the covenant. Go ahead, Apostle. I'll let you share a little bit of that.
You know, it's amazing. It says Jesus gave us the two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so what we find is if we don't go to the Father and we learn how to love, and that takes it takes a lot of work to get into that place, to learn how to love. John gave us the principle in 1 John when he said, what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've beheld. He gets to the end of that dialogue right there at the beginning, and he says, so fellowship with us, because our fellowship's with the Father and with the Son. So you have to be around people who know how to be loved by God and know how to love out of that to really learn it. You can't just be an island out there learning about the love of God on your own. So just to preface that. But the idea is that love doesn't use. Love doesn't look for an opportunity to manipulate or use people. Love encompasses. Love is reciprocal. Love works in concert in partnership with people. And so what I was meditating on the last couple of days was just talking with the Lord about how the church likes to use this phraseology of being used of the Lord. And we throw it out so nonchalantly, but we don't. There's so many things you mentioned right at the beginning of the broadcast, Apostle Lee, that there's a lot of things that are messed up in our theology and our concepts of God and our ways of thinking. This is a huge one because we nonchalantly will say in the church, use me, Lord. Or we'll say to other people, use her, Lord, use her. And use them, mm-hmm. Lord, use him, you know, use that person. Mm-hmm. And we don't even stop mm-hmm. to think about how much of a relationship-less concept that is. Because if you were to go in the natural and use somebody else, if you were to literally take their body and use them, that's called prostitution.
It is. Somebody,
that is not,
yeah, that's not good.
That's not a relationship.
Not relational.
That is just for the moment. That is just being used. So some people would say, well, you understand what we're saying. Yes. In the concept, I understand you want to flow in what God is doing, but you're using the phraseology incorrectly, and words are how the entire world was created. So when you use words, whether you understand a meaning behind them or not, eventually you become molded by those words because you're speaking them in an atmosphere. And so people are using
again,
these
you're,
words.
Again, you're observing
me.
To do. Again, you're observing
exactly.
to do. Okay.
So people are using these words and saying, use me, God. And the Lord is saying, I don't want to use you. I want to be in partner with you. A husband and wife don't, if they're in a good relationship, they don't use each other for sex. They enjoy each other. They make, quote unquote, make love. They're enjoying each other, and both of them, hopefully, are mutually satisfied by the experience. But it's not, if one
Hallelujah.
Person is using the other, then the relationship is out of balance and it's not correct. Yet we walk into the church and we say foolish things like, use me, Lord, as if I'm some type of prostitute and the Lord is just waiting for the next opportunity.
He's waiting for
and,
opportunity.
And then, right. And then the next concept we understand is, this is exactly how we're relating to each other. We're relating
yes.
to each other in a use me mentality. So we're using people for their gifts. We're using people for their talents. We're using people for their connections. We're using people for their platform. We're using
God,
people for whatever
God.
They have that can gain me an advantage. Because I'm not in a covenant relationship with that person. I am simply using them.
Using
and they're looking
them.
At me and saying, use me. But they're saying, use me, oh, Lord. But then they're turning around to the other person and saying, how are you going to treat me like this? How are you going to act like this? You're just using me for my talent. Your whole operation and connection with the Lord is based on you just being used.
Him
so
using.
You can't be offended if I use you.
Right.
Because that's your mentality.
Right.
And so I'm bringing this up because I was meditating on it, and the Lord says, I want to break that mentality because I didn't create you to be used.
To be used.
I created you to be in partnership with me, in fellowship with me.
Yeah.
The devil wants to possess people and use them because he doesn't have
Come
a physical
on,
body. Christ. He doesn't have a literal physical body in the earth, so he wants to use our body, our physical bodies, our corporal temple, okay? He wants to use them in the earth, but that's not how God wants to operate. He is in partnership with us. He is in communion with us.
That's right.
And it goes back to the
and
garden
he's always
where we had this
–
oh, absolutely.
He's always
and
serving
we,
us.
That's what his example was. And so we got to go
that
back to
example.
That understanding of the garden and learn from it and go, wait a minute. Eve was operating from a place of feeling inferior and insecure. And therefore,
yes.
that is the root mindset when we say, use me.
Use
because
me.
I'm inferior mm-hmm. and I'm insecure.
I'm inadequate.
Therefore, all I can do is be a prostitute
be
for God. I can't
yes.
be a the bride of Christ. I can't be
Come on.
The exalted body of Christ in the earth because I can't do that. No, you can walk in.
That's too much.
The statement that was made about Moses was he was the wisest person at that time, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole statement made about Moses, very glowing, and it says he was very humble. He was the most
mm-hmm.
humble person in the
mm-hmm.
earth.
Mm-hmm.
You can be
mm-hmm.
confident absolutely in who God created you to be. Let me put it in this
yeah.
terms. You can be. You can do exactly what Jesus said. You're going to be like me. You're going to be just like me. And what
he said,
say?
As
he
I was,
said,
so are you in the earth.
So he says, I'm the Son of God. I know who I am.
Yeah.
He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection. So whatever you're operating in, whoever God calls you to be, you can be confident
got
who God's called you to be and be absolutely humble at the same time. But people
absolutely
don't understand that because they feel inferior and insecure, and it stems, that's the root of it, but it comes out of our in our language when we say, use me, O Lord. Use me, God.
And all of that really comes from just poor teaching, Apostle. It comes from poor teaching.
Absolutely.
It comes from that poverty mentality of the church, you know, not the ecclesia, because the ecclesia are the called out ones. And what were they called out for? They were called out to do a work. If you look at that, you know, even when it comes to upon this rock will I build my ecclesia, that word is not even church there. And if I have to go into, which I probably will next week, where that word actually came from, I just really don't like that word. And I know a lot of people are still kind of stuck in that paradigm, and they're okay with using it because they think it might be too deep not to use the word. But guess what? At the end of the day, the reality is it is what it is. And if we call it something other than what it is, we're going to continue to get the result of what it is and not what we are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if we continue to try to mix and meld these two things together that are not even diametrically connected, they're not even connected.
Yeah.
You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again really quickly. You know, the church is a place that calls you to a place. Ecclesia is something that is a thing that calls you out of something. Are you hearing me? You are called to church. You are called out when you're in the ecclesia. When you're in the ecclesia, what are you called out for? You're called out for service. You're called out to do a work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's so much that we could talk about tonight. We're not going to even braise the surface of this conversation tonight at 6:51. But you know, I just want to mention this as well, just because I know that we have some Bereans on the line, and so this is important. We are right in the season of that whole Revelations 12 actualization of the scriptures, and I'm excited about that. There are a whole lot of other things that we're in the season of, and I'll share those things with you next week. As a matter of fact, when I get on, I'm just going to drop the verses for you, and if we don't get to them, you can go start looking them up, and we'll just continue to come back and go back over these things until we get through them. But, you know, it's important that you understand that the woman that is with child, we know what that's like, and too, and I was telling them the other day, Apostle, I don't think it's by circumstance or by coincidence that these storms, that these man-made storms that they are naming in this season are called by the names of Joseph and Maria. You know, Jose is short for Joseph, and then, I mean, come on, it couldn't get any more obvious. But anyway, this birthing, you know, it does take us back to, you know, the original situation. But I want you to know that you have, unless you have really read the word, you haven't found yourself in scripture yet. Apostle, you were talking about how we are to follow in his footsteps and how we are to emulate what he does. And that's the whole goal, for us to understand that we are not just people that just showed up on the scene, but we were intentional in the heart and mind of God, and that we are his word made flesh. That's hard for a lot of people to grasp, because they don't understand, you know, that you have a purpose. Before you were even born, before you were even formed, there was purpose over your life. You know, whatever that purpose was, it was already formed and fashioned. And so now, as a manifesting son, this is the season, this is the hour. I'm just going to go over these real quick, because 5776, which is the Hebrew year, a couple years ago, it was, may it be the year of light. Okay, and that was the beginning of the manifesting sons coming to an awakening and realizing who we are. A lot of the church dynamics were changing for a lot of people. Well, my church dynamics changed a long time ago, but I'm saying as a whole, a lot of the church dynamics started changing because people started realizing this is not it. This can't be it. You know what I'm saying? People were coming alive.
Yep.
They were awakening to some things. So may it be the year of light. The beginning of the end was what it was, 5776. And when I thought about that beginning of the end, it brought me to the end of humanity, the end of the church age. Now, you say, why am I saying the end of humanity? Because we are dealt this set of cards because of the two Adams. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the first Adam was earthly. He was fleshly.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me? But the second Adam came to reset us back to our natural calibration, which is spirit. And so when you understand that you are spirit before you are life, there's a spirit. You know, your body is just for you to function in the earth realm. And when you identify who you really are and you begin to operate out of the likeness and image that God has formed you for, then that's a whole nother being. But your whole structure, everything about you has changed. That's why the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. That word creature doesn't mean an animal. It's talking about a creation. Your whole makeup, the whole constitution of who you are is different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are not any longer just a man. You know, Paul, he refers to the people, and he says, listen, I believe that was in Corinthians. He said, listen, you are behaving like mere men. That's what you are.
Yep.
I can't even speak to you as spiritual.
Yep.
You just men. You know, and in another passage, it talks about how they're behaving like men, and they're going to die like dogs. You know, if you want to just be a man, you can die on that level. But if you want to be something more than that, if you want to realize who you are and operate in your identity, your true identity, then that takes you to another place. That takes you to another dimension, another life realm. That takes you to eternality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right now, you're stuck in a place. Because time, I believe time was given to us, Apostle, to learn how to appreciate it. Just like anything that we get in life is given to us on the level that we are to learn how to appreciate it, to learn how to operate in it. But God gave us time to take us to eternity. Not to leave us in time, but just so we could understand how to operate some things and then move to the next level. I'm going to let you have some time here, Apostle. It's 6:55. Leave me 1 minute so we can get off of here.
Leave you 1 minute. I'm going to leave you 1 minute.
Leave me 1 minute.
You said something about the Bereans, and I want to just touch on that real quick. You know, it's amazing, how much we study things and scrutinize religious things, and we want to, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, we want to, you know, okay, God, is this you? Is this really you? Is this really you? And I marvel at people today, because when we mention Bereans, when we mention people, you know, being like the Bereans, all we're really saying is that they're scrutinizing the information that's coming out. Because the reality is,
they were
like the Bereans didn't say to Paul, listen, Paul, you're full of it, and we don't believe what you're going to say until
it
out.
No, that wasn't
what they were doing. They were of an excellent character, and they said, we know in our spirit that what you're saying is right. We're
going
to go not in doubt, but in expectation to confirm this with the Scriptures. And so, when you say Bereans today, a lot of times, exactly. Study to show yourself approved. I don't expect people to take what I'm teaching and just run with it blindly. I expect people to take what I'm teaching and go confirm it in their own spirit. If you don't do your
due diligence
and go confirm it in your own spirit, then you're just parroting what I've said. Because listen.
That's right.
Apostle Lee and I have been through years and years and years of studying and meditation and communion with the Lord to get the revelations that we get, and then we're allowed to give certain information out. Meter it out as we go, as we're talking, because we can't give you a revelation that took me 20 years to get to. I can't just give you that because that'll kill you. Almost kill me at 20 years, you know. But the reality is, what I'm saying is that if you're going
to
be of a Berean character and study it out, then do that for real. Study it out in anticipation of learning more, because there's a lot of things that have been taught in the church, and people go and study it out and scrutinize the religious aspects, and then they walk blindly through the rest of their life. I'll say that again.
Yes.
They study out the scriptures.
Yes.
They scrutinize leadership. They question all sorts of church authority. And I'm not saying that's wrong in certain areas, but what I'm saying is you don't have that same aptitude, that same agenda, or that same approach in the rest of your life. So the rest of your life is in shambles, but you know what that guy said up there on the platform is wrong. Okay, wait a minute.
Right.
You don't have your life together.
Rewind.
But you know that guy up there, what he said, that one point, you're going to discount the whole message. That's why you're missing out on what God has for you. Because you know what?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say things incorrectly. Apostle Lee's going to say things incorrectly. And the Lord's going to continue to teach us. We're going to continue to grow. And you're learning.
We're growing.
Those of you that are out there, you're learning.
Right. We're all,
growing.
And if anybody tells you they're not learning or growing, they're a lie. We are all learning. We're all growing constantly. Growing up until we become the perfect man. That's one man.
Yes, absolutely. Just like they say, well, that's settled. That issue's settled. No, you go back. I talk to the Lord about salvation. I talk to the Lord about all sorts of stuff. I go back and I double check. I go back and I question. Not from a place of doubt, but because I want to learn. I want to know more of the facets of this. I want to discover. If I ever get to the place where I think I've got it all figured out, guess what? I have nothing
figured
out. Oh,
God, help
me. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. And your greatest challenge will be what you think you know when you're presented with new information.
Absolutely. And I love
this
thing that you say, Apostle. Listen, we're about to get off of here. Hopefully I got enough time to
say
this, but I love this thing that you say. You say, what you have attained, work that. Work what you have attained already. You haven't attained it all.
Live up to what you've already attained.
But work.
Nope.
That's right. Work what you have attained. Put it to work. Use the principles.
Absolutely.
Use all of it. Listen, we love you. God bless
you.
We're thankful that you were here with us tonight. Until the next time we see you, you're blessed. And don't forget it.
Amen.